Hello and welcome to Have You Ever Wondered Why? A word from special guest Sue Ellen Holmes on finding the goodness of God in the midst of life storms here at Empower Church.
I want to thank Luke and Amber for giving me the privilege of sharing with you here this morning. I've known these guys since 2003. That's a long time ago now. It ticks around, doesn't it? And I'll introduce my family to you. We've got a few photos. I think if we can throw photo one up. Okay, we've got two together. So that's Richard and I in a different coloured hair version, obviously. But that's in, we're riding bikes in Central Park in New York there in 2015. So that was special time. They're my two sons, Lachlan and Casey, and that's, we find it best if you recognise them while they're looking at their phones because that's their standard position. If you saw too much of the face, you may not see them. But that's actually where we're sitting in the airport lounge ready to go on a family holiday. So, yeah, good times there together. That's a joke. So, no, I love my boys. They're 20 and 15 now. And Lachlan's actually a youth pastor in one of our other INC churches here in Sydney. So I get to come down and see him often. And actually, he's involved some of the music with what we sang this morning. He does a bit with Elevation Youth Music. And I think we've got one more photo left. I have a soft spot for this one. Yeah, that's my dog. His name's Sherlock because my surname's Holmes, Sherlock Holmes. Every vet loves that, hey. They just go, you landed that so well. He gets his own special frame in the house because, you know, he's at least excited for when I come home at the end of the day, whereas the son's, you know, hey, Mum, where's the food, where's dinner? So he is very much a fun part of our lives. I also get, as Luke said, I get to sit on the National Executive. I'm the secretary there. My actual profession is an accountant, CPA, so I bring those skills hopefully to the table and do a lot around finance and risk and all those exciting things. So I don't come today as a theologian, but I do come and share from what I have as a disciple, a devoted follower of Christ since I was 8, part of this movement since I was 8 years old, and just like Amber's family, my family got invited to experience something that was powerful and introduced to not just the traditional way of religion, which is people have genuine relationships with God there, but also real experience with the Holy Spirit. And that meant a lot to our family and really changed the direction and course. My mum and dad were both pastors in INC, and my husband's mum and dad were pastors, and we went to school together and childhood sweethearts, and it's very kitschy, I know. And then we've served as pastors, and now our youngest is set apart and on that way to be a pastor. And I say all that not to say we are perfect, just to set a bit of a precedence that generally on the good old Aussie meter of good people, we're kind of in the good people category. But doesn't mean to say that nothing bad happens. So I want to take you then on a bit of a journey for kind of 2015 into 2016. Lachlan had just got his P plate in August of 2015, and 1 week in, as every new P plate a male seems to do, which is why the insurance premiums reflect this, he smashed it. I'd given him a Citroen C4. It was the love of my life in the car world. We'd owned it outright for a while, so I'd kind of kept it set aside for him because I thought it's safe. It's so fuel efficient, like this is the best thing ever. He thought it was a bit girly and possibly why he wasn't that upset when it crashed. But he ran it into the back of a parked truck, and the truck had steel beams out the side of it and fully crushed the passenger side. So it, oh, but angels that he is still with us. Then September, the next month, my husband went on a trip with his employment, which is a trade college, and they went to Cambodia to help build an orphanage. Another good thing in the world to do. He ended up in an international hospital in Cambodia with his boss ringing me in the middle of the night going, I'm not sure he's going to make it. And so he had caught a very bad bug there. thankfully, he made it. He came home and we could continue on our trip. We'd had a family trip planned to go to New York, and that was in October. Then we went to New York, had a beautiful family holiday for Lachlan's 18th. And I remember being in Central Park with one of the visits, the bike rides, and I'm reading a book. I'm looking up at the leaves falling because it was autumn, and it was just such a great time. And I remember saying to the Lord, I am so content right now. I could go home. You know when you're young and you go, Lord, don't come back yet. I want to get married. And then it's like, don't come back. I want to have kids. And then don't come back. I want to see the kids grow up. And so you keep pushing out when the Lord, as if he's going to listen to me of my timeline, but that's what I had. But I actually had that sense of, I feel like I've experienced a good amount of life and I feel happy. Then we go forward to December and I find a lump in my breast, and I thought, it was the week before Christmas, and went, right, I don't think that's good. And so I said to myself, if it's still there after Christmas, I'll go get it checked out. We had hosted Christmas Day, Boxing Day. I was ill and vomiting. Day after that, Richard went into emergency surgery to have his appendix out. This is just all from August. And then I go, the lump was still there, so I go through the testing. And the day before Australia Day in January 2016, I got diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 2A. And so it was like, whoa. And I'd felt like I was tired before I went into this journey. I thought, Lord, how am I going to do this? But just then to all the overwhelming feelings of, what does this actually mean? What can I do? What can't I do? What would the journey of treatment look like? Lord, I believe for a healing right now. Is that going to happen? What if it doesn't happen? To see the pain in my family's eyes, whether it was my parents, my brother, my husband, my kids, Richard had to sit the boys down and tell them I couldn't do that. And it's very painful. I had even the day that I got the diagnosis, we ended up being able to see the surgeon. And so went to see the surgeon, but I was meant to do a meeting for Ross, who is my boss. He's the chairman of INC Oceania. And I couldn't get him because he was already in the retreat for the location pastors for that day. But I said, I'm not coming. I'm sorry to do this over the phone, but I've got cancer. I mean, what a way to tell someone you work with about why you're not turning up. And, of course, he read it and went outside and rang me. And it was just all those traumatic things that I'd wake up in the morning, every morning until I started treatment, and I go, oh, looking like a great day outside. And I had a beautiful picture out my window of trees and green and sunshine. I live on the Gold Coast, a lot of blue sky. And then, you know, within 3 seconds, the wall had hit you. Don't forget you've got cancer. And you go, okay, because you don't feel it. Nothing's actually changed. But immediately my world did change, just that little piece of knowledge. So go forward, treatment actually started in March. I had chemo, 16 rounds of chemo, 30 rounds of radiation. I did lose my hair. That was the worst of it. And the surgeon said most people do cry when they find they're going to lose their hair. And I think the reason for that is because with the loss of hair means it's all of a sudden it's public. So I had this thing in my world is like I like to be the duck where it looks really smooth swimming on the top, but underneath those little legs are going like a train, you know. But then as soon as you've got no hair, well, there's no denying everyone's going to know something's going on. So I felt that vulnerability that came with that. So we went through all of the treatment, get to the end of the year. We have a little family holiday 1 week before Christmas. And I said, look, guys, I'm just kind of ready to get out and experience the world again. You know, I've had a lot of time to rest and just kind of do the bare minimum. I said, my one thing I want to do is go stand up paddleboarding, which we did. 3 seconds on the board, I fell off and broke my leg. Right. So there was this whole sense of, you know, people just go, are you kidding me? So then I turn up the church in a wheelchair. And so the title of what I want to share today is, have you ever wondered why? Because like I said, we often have that sense of, what would be fair in this situation? Most of that wasn't actually fair. But God doesn't have a concept of fair. We like to think sometimes of God as a fairy godmother or a wizard and just makes everything right for us. But that's not a biblical concept. He's very just, but he's not necessarily fair. So today I want to share about some of the anchor points that I want to encourage you to kind of prepare and have in your life for when the storms come, because they do come. And the Bible talks about build your house on a rock, so when the storm comes, you have that firm foundation. Doesn't say build your house on the rock, then you avoid the storm. No, it's just when the storms come. So the first anchor point I'd like to share with you today is predetermine your response to the storms of life. Don't wait till you're in the middle of the storm. It's like an argument. Don't wait till you're in the middle of the argument to determine how you're going to treat each other. Predetermine. I had situations early in our married life where Richard was pretty gravely ill. So I had that chance. I'd already worked through those times to go, if everything went bad, everything went to yogurt and it wasn't the picture that I'd wanted or I'd would like to see, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay close to God? Am I going to lean into him? Or am I just going to go, you know what, gave it a red hot go, didn't work for me. I had to determine for myself, not even as a married couple, because I can't determine Richard's behaviours or his actions. Although we had done it together, I also had to do it individually, that if he was taken away from me, what would I do? So I'd predetermined, which was very helpful when I get to this type of situation. We have the book of Psalms and Proverbs in the Bible that helps us, give us some pointers of how not to do self-inflicted pain. But we must remember that the devil comes to rob, kill and destroy. So there is going to be stuff that comes along in your life. Like we said, there is going to be storms. So you need to know how you're going to respond to that storm. If we go to Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who? Know your limit and determine no matter what comes, I'm going to stick it. And then you've all got that resolve ready to go, ready to pull on at the time that the storm may come. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armour of God. Sounds like a lot of warfare. Yep, there's stuff to be done. So that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and having done all, you stand. And there are times where we do get to that point that, hey, Lord, I've got nothing left. And all he asks us is to have that armour on and just stand. It's a powerful image, and if it's a powerful posture towards the Lord. Remember Job. Whole book of Job is about this guy that really, I mean, I thought 2016 was bad for me. That was his life. He had a real significant season where everything kept going wrong. And it's a picture of, and I mean, it's an account, I should say. It's not a parable. It's an account of where everyone, his friends abandoned him and go, mate, we're not staying near you. We're going to get in touch with this evil curse that's upon you. God has cursed you. His family, his wife, they all had challenged him to let go of his God. And if we go to Job 1:20 to 22, powerful verses, Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. How powerful is that? I just go back to verse 20. He stood up and tore his robe in grief. God didn't consider someone that grieves, has emotions, as sinful. So it's good, it's fine to go. He gave you all the range of emotions. But then it's when Job went, in all of this, I recognize my place with God and I will praise the name of the Lord. Such a powerful posture. We can't acknowledge that the Lord takes away. If we want to blame him for that, we've got to acknowledge that the Lord gives us so much too. You can only know pleasure if you know pain. It's the same nervous system in a very practical sense. It's the same nerve endings. You can only know pleasure if you know pain. You can only have light if you have darkness. These are things that contrast but actually make it quite a powerful place. So number one, predetermine your response to the storms of life. Number two, know your worship style and use it. We're going to put up on the screen 9 worship styles. So this is how best we connect with God. I'm not going to go through all of those and I'm not going to read all of those, but if you have a quick look, one of them will jump out to you. And what it is God's designed, a bit like a personality type. There's going to be one in there that you go, yep, I feel closest to God when I walk in the rainforest and I see his magnitude and the greenery and the damp and the range of butterflies. For me, I'm an enthusiast. I love to literally sing and worship. That's when I feel most connected. So what did I do during this very stormy season? Is I lent into worship. I lent into my worship style because that's how I knew I could connect with God quickly. I didn't go to a book to read all the theological disposition of his healings. That's not my worship style. It wouldn't have helped me in that time, and honestly, my brain was too fogged up to even get there. But what I did was know enough to go, I need to connect with God continually through this. How do I do it best and most quickly? So again, a great way to prepare ourselves is to know, what is that? I would also say when we come together with corporate worship, there was times where I couldn't. I was too sad, or I felt too weak, or I felt simply too sad to sing and make those declarations. But the power of the people singing around me, making those declarations on behalf of our faith community, cannot be underestimated. So if you aren't in a stormy season and you go, worship's not really my thing, music's not really my thing, I'll just come, you know, kind of 15 minutes in and dodge all that stuff. Can I just encourage you, you may not be in a storm now, but you will be, and you'll need those declarations around your life. So do it for the others that are there now, and it'll be strong for when you need it. I'd actually go rest on some of what we do sing, because song lyrics, worship lyrics, are just someone else's experience interpretation of the scripture as they walk through life. So they're very powerful. They carry a really great picture with them. There's a song called Your Promises, and there's a part in there when it says, when the weight of the world begins to fall, on the name of Jesus I will call. For I know my God is in control and his purpose is unshakable. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. How powerful is that? And so when we're in worship and we're singing that over and over, we're doing it to remind ourselves. By the way, God knows that he's the King of Kings. He knows he's the Saviour and the Redeemer. We're not doing it to remind him. We're doing it to remind ourselves. But it changes us. Once we speak outside of ourselves, it changes us. So I encourage you in that. So remember your worship style. So we're going to predetermine what we do for the storms of life and know your worship style. The third one is, third anchor point, is it allow yourself to be human, but just don't excuse your blowouts. So we are broken people, We don't have to be heroes through this. As we saw with Job, he went through grief. And we know with the stages of grief, there's anger involved. There's denial involved. There's remorse. There's a whole range of emotions that come with that. Psalms is filled with particularly David going, I am but a worm. And God doesn't reject him out of that. There was times where during my journey, there was a fair bit of Netflix binging. Thankfully, we had data-free quota on Netflix at the time. And that was like a controlled just escapism that wasn't, you know, we were careful what we watched and let in, but it wasn't turning to alcohol or it wasn't turning to substance abuse or wasn't pulling away from my faith community or it wasn't destructive. It was just like, yes, you just need a little bit of time and a little bit of space. There was another one we pulled that actually Casey, the younger son, when for a while during the journey he didn't want to use the cancer word. He called it, you know, the C word, which, you know, put that aside. But however, there was this one moment where there was this, you know, there was three of us at home at the time. And he loves his ice cream on a stick. You know, that's kind of his go-to snack food. And there was only two in the box. And he goes, oh, no, there's only two, but there's three of us there. And there was kind of, we're all looking at each other. So what goes now? And he turns to us and he goes, well, Mum, of course, you can play the cancer card. And we laugh because the first time he'd actually mentioned the word. And it was a powerful point that of humour, because that humour is a value within our family. And we played that cancer card the whole time. Hey, like even a year after, we're going, do you reckon we could play the cancer card for this? You know, you'd get special parking at the hospital that you could put on your dash. So I've still got that parking thing. So if I need to go to checkups, yep, I'll pull into the primo spots. And then I found out the kids and Richard were all using the cancer card in their school and their work. And it's just, wait a second, it's my card. You can't borrow my card. But we'd have good fun with it just to go, humour is a part of what we value as a family. But it also, if you go to Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So we looked for ways to find the humour. We used to, when Richard had come with me to the chemo treatment, we called it our date. And it sounds pathetic, but it was a way of just letting us flip it to go, we're very busy professionals, both in our work, but to have allowance for us to go and sit together for 2-3 hours, however long we ended up being there, was actually pretty special. So let's make the most of that. Just encourage you, a cheerful heart is as good as medicine. We can choose to have that cheerful disposition. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So rely on that, because if we think of all the negatives, that's when we sap our strength. So we've got our anchor points are predetermine the storms of life, know your worship style and use it. Third one is allow yourself to be human. Fourth one is let God reveal his why in his timing. Because the natural thing when something like this comes along is you want to go, why? What? Why me? But then again, why not me? Why does someone else deserve it more than me? Why do I get to live in Australia and someone else lives in Bangladesh? Why? It's a big question that we want to work out. But if we go to Scripture, it leads us to Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. And like I said at the start, life isn't a process about being fair. There's some things that it's not fair where some people are born or the circumstances they're born into. And it's also not fair that some people get cancer or some people get other diseases. And some people die quickly from it and some recover instantly from it. All of that is not fair. But we don't understand what God's doing in that bigger picture. I had a very close friend that said to me, who'd been also been through cancer, and said, don't ask the question why. Because even if you find out, how does that change where you actually are? The position you are right now, you've still got to face treatment. You've still got to believe for healing. it's not going to change anything. And I went, that is so true. I can waste a lot of energy trying to put a framework of why around it and purpose when I can just lean into the journey and let God do what he needs to do. But then, of course, the secondary part of that is the faith question, do I still believe in healing? I had some pretty, if I say credentialed people pray for me for instant healing and have had good results in that, but I didn't get an instant healing. So does that mean I don't believe in healing? Nope. I do believe in healing. I just let God do it in his timing. There's a... miracles are a sign and a wonder that point people, whether it's the person or the people around, to the miracle giver, not the miracle receiver. And I also know that some of what I needed to go through wouldn't have been resolved with the Lord if I'd got my instant healing. And so I'll unpack that a little bit more, but I had come from a place where I... very much, like I said, I'm the duck on the top of the water with lots of leg activity underneath the water. And it wasn't from what other people had said to me, but in my headspace, I earned people's respect and love through what I did for them. And so during this journey, I actually went through a process and it was gobsmacking me around, and I actually learned that people loved me for me. It sounds basic, I know. But deep down, we often strive for the love of God. Deep down, we often strive for the love of our spouse. And we're trying to do things to earn it. And it just flips us when it's given to us. And that's what the Lord healed me from. That if I'd got my instant healing back in March, February that year, I wouldn't have had that journey to allow people to actually take control, allow people to do things for us, allow people into our space, have the vulnerability of no hair, just have that openness to actually experience the goodness of people. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We're on this earth for maybe 44 years, maybe 85 years, who knows how long. But it actually is God that determines the length of that. But we've got, earth is not our resting place. Heaven is our resting place. There's a part of me that goes, when going through this, I could see that there was people that were literally fearful of dying. And these were Christians, and I was challenged by that. I go, Lord, what is it that we fear about dying? Because if God is all he said he is, heaven must be so much better than anything we've ever experienced. So there's that Philippians 1:21 verse that says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if I live, Christ wants me here and I've got something to do and he's got me full of purpose. But if I die, I gain. So tell me, where's the downside? Yes, it's downside for those around me in that grief, but I still have to rest that he has purposed it for a bigger position. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So we often think that the opposite of faith is doubt, and doubt is sinful. But I just want to challenge us about fear. Because that was my big thing at the start of the journey, was fear. And fear is actually the flip of faith, because fear actually hasn't happened. You see a spider on the wall, you're fearful the spider's going to bite you. But has the spider bitten you before? Or have you been bitten by a spider before? It's just the thought that that's going to happen. And it can, you know, we can get the sweaty response. We can run in fear if we see a snake on the ground. But it's actually, nothing has actually happened. It's not factual. Fear is just an anticipation that is strongly changing our behaviour. Faith can be the same. It's an anticipation that can strongly change our behaviour, because it is the hope that we see. So then the fifth anchor, I'll just one note on that I had on my mirror right throughout the journey was, am I living or just fighting death? I saw so many people in the oncology unit that they'd come in, they'd be angry with the receptionist, angry with the nurses, angry at the doctor, angry at the medicine going in, calling it poison, calling it toxic. They were just angry because they were just fighting death. They were just all they had to do, whereas I thought, I'm going to live through this. I'm going to live through it. I'm going to be present in the moment and let the Lord speak to me and show me his love through it, which leads me into the fifth anchor point is have gratitude in all things. I took the time to actually go, how is God loving me through this? So I laid out all the bad things that happen. Let me lay out some of the good things that happen during that season. I had bunches of flowers roll through my house all the time. I had meals delivered. The local coffee shop that we knew kind of were devastated when they heard, so they gave me the free green juice the whole time through my treatment. I had people that would drive me to wherever I needed to go. I had people that would just come and mow our lawns. People that would write me cards, send me books, people that would stop and say, I'm praying for you. And can I just say, that was amazing to feel the presence of prayer around about me. So if you do say to someone, I'm praying for you, I ask that you actually do it. Don't say if you're not going to do it. Be true to that. But actually, no, it is powerful and they will feel that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How powerful is that? We often think, what's God's will for my life? That's it. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. When all is said and done, we are saved, and that is actually enough to be totally grateful for. John 3:16 to 17, we know it, it's Easter, but it's quite powerful, so powerful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. But don't stop at verse 16, you go into verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He loved us so much that he gave his Son. So here is the perfect one. So if Jesus went through trials, we can expect trials. But our part in all of this is to know that God is with us through it all. That's the difference. That's the Saviour. And all of a sudden, our time on earth is not our resting place. Our final home is heaven. And I just want to say today that I appreciate you taking the time to listen, but I also pray that God is moving on hearts to know that if we turn towards him, if we lean in towards him, when storms come, often our immediate response is to retreat and to hide, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. What did they do when they felt, oh no, I've messed up with God, or I've messed up in life, or I haven't got it all together? They tried to hide. But the beautiful thing of the church that God's created, his bride, is if we come together in faith, that's when it shines into its own. Lean into God, lean into his people and the people around you in these times. Don't lean away. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us at Empower Church. We're committed to seeing you discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill your destiny. To find out more about who we are and how you can get involved, please head over to empowerchurch.com.au or like us on our Facebook page. We can't wait to hear from you.